what I learned about myself is that no matter the struggle outside, the struggle inside is what's going to make me the better person. Mm-hmm. So there can be a million things going on outside, you know, in the world, in my local area, whatever is going on in my life, throwing me different obstacles. But I can only deal with so much, and the struggle that I put on myself is the one that's more meaningful to me to deal with. And like I said, everybody walks. We all come from different walks of life. I'm going to still keep walking through it or run through it, whichever way. But I'm going to deal with my issues at hand because I can't control everything
else. This podcast is brought to you by Blaker Brewing. That's right. We got an official beer of the podcast, you guys. Thank you so much, Blaker. I truly, truly appreciate it. And if you guys haven't heard of Blaker Brewing, then you're missing out. Okay. Located in Atwater and Ceres, this brewery not only offers delicious tasting beer, but it also has great events that bring the whole community together. So this October, you guys, on October 8th, make sure that your calendar is cleared out because Blaketoberfest 2022 is happening. Now, this is located at the tarmac in Atwater, California. Now, there's going to be beer. There's going to be games. There's going to be live music, cocktails, Stein challenges, and so much more. Now, if you are interested in this event and you want to buy tickets, please go to their Instagram. That's at Blaker Brewing, or their other one, at Blaker Tarmac. And you could click on the link in their Instagram accounts, and that'll take you to Eventbrite, where you can purchase your tickets. Once again, you guys, make sure you have October 8th cleared for Blaketoberfest at the tarmac in Atwater. Thanks again, Blaker. This podcast is brought to you by Woofstock. Yes, that's right, Woofstock, you guys. New Beginnings is hosting the second annual Woofstock Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. This event will be held at the Merced County Fairgrounds, and it is completely free. There's going to be over 70 vendors there, amazing food trucks, bands, and all proceeds from the day will go to New Beginnings in helping local animals. Now, this group and this organization is they do wonderful things, you guys. Now, this group of volunteers works to foster and rescue animals, assist with medical needs like injured animals, and grants vouchers for low-cost spay, neuter, and vaccinations. Now, there will be a raffle, and tickets can be bought right now for the event. The three grand prizes are a weekend getaway to the coast, a 75-inch smart TV, and a staycation with dinner and a movie here at the fabulous El Capitan Hotel. Now, if you're interested in buying tickets and for more information, please contact Mindy Martin at 209-756-4650. That's 209-756-4650. Or you can email her, woofstock2021@gmail.com. Once again, that's woofstock2021@gmail.com. Thanks again, Woofstock. This podcast is brought to you by Creepy Kawaii, a locally owned art gallery located at 1742 Canal Street here in downtown Merced. Now, Creepy Kawaii features art, spray paint, events, and when I'm saying events, she is putting on for the art community of Merced, you guys. She is bringing people together. She is always having people, new people in her shop, always promoting new and different work, and she's just a great, great person. So thank you, Patty, for sponsoring this podcast, and they have tons more stuff in there. They have clothing, they have Asian import snacks, and they just have so many cool things that Patty creates herself. Now, if you guys want to check it out, you can visit the website, www.creepykawaiidesigns.com. Or you could follow her on Instagram. Once again, that's Creepy Kawaii Designs for her Instagram. And I just can't recommend this enough. Please go check out Creepy Kawaii Designs. Thanks again, Patty. This podcast is brought to you by Lisa Haynes. She's a home loan specialist that helps you prepare to jump into one of the most exciting times of your life. That's right, becoming a homeowner. Now, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, or if you just want to see if you qualify, you can reach out to her by her phone number at 209-769-1877. Once again, that's 209-769-1877. Or reach out to her on Instagram at Coffee and Home Loans. Once again, that's at Coffee and Home Loans. Thanks, Lisa. This podcast is brought to you by WorkNet and the Merced County Workforce Development Board. On this podcast, we often talk about how people in the Valley made it, or how they are successful, or how they started a new business, and what drove them to do these different things. And with Merced County, WorkNet provides people with career advice and job information. It also provides training that they might need in order to change careers. 3 years ago, I was on my way to become a teacher, and then I jumped into something and I thought it might be too late. It might be too late to switch careers, but it wasn't, you guys. And that's what this organization is doing. It's helping assist you to, you know, find that new job, find something you're actually passionate about. Now, in order to find WorkNet services, they are provided through Merced County, and it's completely free. So, like, it's a no-brainer, you guys. It is completely free. Now, they have helped hundreds of people and small businesses every year, and you can check them out at WorkNetMerced.com. Once again, you guys, if you're interested in this program at all, please visit WorkNetMerced.com, and they can help you. Thanks again, WorkNet Merced. And thanks for tuning in to Central Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey. And if you're new around here, this show, well, it's all about the Central Valley of California. Now, it's gotten a bad rep for a while, and I'm trying to change that stigma about it. So I decided to start this podcast, Central Valley Podcast. So we like to take a look at, you know, the teachers, the artists, the political figures, the people with stories worth hearing, just talented people within the area. And we like to give them a platform to tell their story. This podcast, yes, we do have sponsors, but it was started originally by me and my buddy Duffy, and it was just because we wanted to, you know, shed light on this area. It's gotten a bad rep for a while, and so that's why we started it. Now, we do have merch, you guys. We got this sweet-ass bucket hat on, got this Central Valley Podcast t-shirt, the Palm in the Pine. Oh, wait, the Palm of the Pine. If you guys want to purchase this stuff, you can go follow me on Instagram at Central Valley Podcast. And on Instagram, if you go to at Central Valley Podcast, you hit View Shop, and it'll take you to tons and tons of different clothing and options we have. It's one way you can help support the show. And another way you can help support the show is if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. Make sure you're always giving a thumbs up. Make sure you're sharing this with your family and friends who live within this area and who even don't live within this area. Yes, the podcast is Central Valley Podcast, but let me tell you, people from random states have been listening to it, so I really, really do appreciate the support. Now, before we get into today's episodes, we do have another musical guest, and the musical guest today is Johnny Boy Lopez. Me and Johnny Boy Lopez have crossed paths a few different times. I did his podcast, the Indie Mogul, and then we've just talked ever since then. He helped me get GB on the podcast, other people like that, and he's just he's a musical artist, and I don't want to say a rapper because a lot of people know him only for his rap music, but this first song that he... this first song that he's going to perform, it definitely does not categorize as a rap song. This Johnny Boy is such a talented individual. He can hit the highs and he can hit the lows. He goes from like, ah, to like, ah, like, I don't know how to describe it. Besides that, the two songs that he performs are couldn't be more polar opposite, but it just shows you how diverse he truly is. So I'm going to stop talking. And without further ado, here is Johnny Boy Lopez.
Number one, got me strong, and she just the time we have together. I can see the flame in your eyes. I just want a night of passion and pleasure. Honey, just relax and unwind. Ooh, passion and pleasure. Ooh, I just want a night of passion and pleasure.
Well done, Johnny Boy. Well done. That is one of my favorite songs by Johnny Boy Lopez. You can find all his social media links right here. And then also make sure you guys just support him any way you can, whether that's listening to him on Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to music, YouTube. Just type in Johnny Boy Lopez and it'll come up. He's also performing a song at the very end of the podcast, so stay tuned for that one. Once again, you guys, give it up for Johnny Boy Lopez. All right, let's just jump into today's episode. Today, I am joined by Eric Koenig. Now, Eric is a very, very cool dude. We actually got to know each other almost like 10 years ago now, because we both used to hang out at the same spot. When I first met him, Eric was, I believe he said on the podcast, he was like 265 pounds, and now he's down to, I think he's under 165 as well. He's an ultra marathon runner, and we talk about that journey, how he went from, you know, like 250 plus pounds all the way down to like 165 and under, and what the process is like, what drove him to want to do that, what drove him to want to lose the weight first, and then what got him into ultra marathon running and everything else like that. And it's just such a great conversation. We talked about really what it drives him and what keeps him going and why he chose to do this and why he keeps on going back to these crazy, you know, they might seem like crazy races to us, but they're not. It's just amazing what the human body can do. And so I was so glad I could sit down with Eric, talk to him, talk about what drove him, why he's doing this, and we know what his goals are. He has some pretty big goals, and I know he's going to reach them. But I'm going to quit talking. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Eric Koenig.
This is it. Real talk. What not?
Real talk. What did you do yesterday?
So yesterday, I decided to put myself through fucking hell. I ran 100K in Oregon at 5,000 feet of elevation. It was the starting elevation. We ran over 11,000 feet total over the mountains. And because I went in the wrong direction for a couple of miles,
damn,
I added on some extra mileage. But, you know, it's just perfect training for my next run. So
that's all it was. Well, that's all it was. But
but yeah, so Waldo 100K, you can look it up on Ultra Sign Up.
Here, Duffy, want to look it up?
Yeah.
UltraSignUp.com and see all the facts, or go to Waldo100K.com.
Uh-huh. And it started at 5,000, and then it got to...
Yeah, so 5,000 feet is the base elevation at the ski resort and at every base elevation for that whole area, which it intersects on the PCT a few times, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you go up to Mount Fuji, then you go to the Twins Mountains,
mm-hmm,
then you go down to Charlton Lake, around the lake, back up to the Twins, and then you summit... Maiden Peak, and Maiden Peak is at 9,000 feet. So you're overseeing like everything, dude.
And so you're going like up one mountain, down mountain, up a different mountain, down a different mountain.
Yeah, so
up
the nice rolling hills on the way down is nice, unless you hit rocks and then all the switchbacks. And then it was dusty because after the halfway point, that's kind of when the sun comes up and it gets hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's dusty. It's dry. You got bees all around you.
Really?
Yeah. Like I had swarms of bees all around my head.
Oh, man.
And I was just like trying to breathe through my nose because they kept trying to go around my mouth.
When you do these runs, are you like listening to anything or are you just
like... No, I don't
like,
listen to music.
They're just zenning.
When I started running, I listened to music a lot and podcasts and stuff like that while I'm running. Which sometimes I do for training runs, but on races, the whole point of trail running is to get to know the people around you. Mm-hmm. So, like, hear out their story, mm-hmm, they hear out your story, because we all come from different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Oh,
like, so you guys talk to each other on the trail when you're out there?
Yeah.
You kind of buddy up every now and then with some people?
You know, they're hurting just as much as you are.
Yeah.
And so you just get that negative self-talk in your head, like, oh, should I give up this next aid station? Like,
yeah.
It's getting hot. It's getting hard. My feet are hurting. My feet are got wet from having to cross through those rivers and those creeks. So, like, you know, when you have a crew, like, luckily my dad was there, so he was crewing me at aid stations, so I had changes of socks and my hiking poles.
So at these aid stations, how many miles for every aid station? You know what I mean to you?
It varies. So, like, some are closer than others, but you're going to average about 5 to 7 miles between each aid station, and then, like, the furthest one apart was, like, 9, 11 miles.
Oh, okay.
And that was through the heat
and
part.
So is your dad driving to all these locations, or how does that work?
He drove to a couple of them, and then he had to hike to one of them, which was, like, 2 miles.
That's pretty cool, though.
And he's not used to being at elevation because he lives here in the Central Valley. So
yeah,
he's a flatlander.
Central Valley. Yeah, flatlander. Not flat earther, flatlanders. Yeah. That's another shirt. There we go, you guys. Flatlanders with like an alien on it or something.
Yeah.
He's like, copyright.
Yeah, definitely copyright.
So why don't you introduce yourself to people who may not know who you are?
For those of you that don't know who I am, you should already. I'm Eric Koenig. I grew up in Merced. I went to Golden Valley High School. I currently live in Lompoc, California, which is in Santa Barbara County. I know, boo. But
man, as long as it's in California, man, California's the best.
I grew up playing water polo and swimming.
How old are you?
I'm 31. I just turned 31 on Friday. Right before my race.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, when I was texting you. Well, happy belated birthday, man. I didn't know.
That's all good. I don't really tell anybody.
Okay, gotcha. No, that's cool. And then, and what do you do?
So I work in federal corrections for the Bureau of Prisons.
Mm-hmm.
I actually started here at USP Outwater, and that was back in 2016. I transferred out to Texas, and now I'm back in California in Lompoc.
That's cool. Yeah.
And been doing it for a few years now.
Yeah. And how'd you get into running? Like, how did this start?
Okay. So, when I got out of the Army, I started coaching water polo and got back into swimming. I was 285 pounds, like, a year after the Army. I just let myself go. That's when we were partying in the garage.
That's when we met, man. Yeah.
Good times.
That's how I know these
great
guys.
Time.
Playing beer pong every night.
Yeah, dude. I try to tell people what the garage is, and then I'm like, you guys don't get it. Like, it wasn't like a...
It was just a big open door.
Yeah, it was like a Monday through Saturday, basically.
It was Monday through Saturday. Yeah. Sundays were the fucking...
Yeah, Sundays were like, can we please just not hang out with you guys?
Should we brunch?
Yeah. You know, we're like, maybe if we just fit under this garage, we can hang out.
Yeah, I know I fell asleep in the garage many times.
Oh, yeah. All of us. I don't think you haven't really been there,
Jared,
unless you've done that.
Yeah, Jared and I, we used to cook, like, I think Thirsty Thursdays, we used to do
that,
like, the
and
big
Taco
dinners.
Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, yeah, that's when, exactly, that's what
so
I remember, yeah.
We'd make, like, food for, what, we had, like, 30
We had two,
people
yeah, we had...
It was either 30 or it was 4 because we would always invite people at the last minute.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we'd never know if there's going to be people there or not. And then all of a sudden, it'd be like, wow, there's a whole 50 people here, you guys.
A mob just came.
Yeah. So that's where we met. And then, like you're saying, so you're like 280 pounds. Is that how much you weighed at one point?
I was 285 at my heaviest.
Okay, gotcha.
So
and
like,
then
the first year out of the Army, I spent like $10,000 alone on booze.
Damn.
Yeah. But, I mean, I had a good time. But I thought I did, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
after
the military, going to combat and all that, I deal with PTSD pretty bad. And so I let myself go in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you want to adjust this, you can, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, like,
you just even just pull it. Like, so you, there you go.
Yeah, I'm a little shorter than most.
No, you're probably not. I saw you were like leaning one way. So I was
I'm
like,
actually a really short guy for being an ultra runner, too.
Are most of them taller?
Oh, yeah. They're like fucking 6'3 or higher. Like,
really?
Giraffes.
The freaking long legs.
Yeah.
It's
I'm like, that's
cheating.
How you guys have a fucking advantage on
Yeah.
The only thing I can do is go further. So
yeah.
That's why I like the longer
that's
races.
That's why you did it,
That's why I like the longer races.
Yeah, that's true.
So, where was I?
You're 285
pounds. So, a few years ago, when we moved back from Texas, like, I started getting into fitness a little bit, but I was still drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wasn't taking care of myself mentally at all. I just, you know, just didn't feel right. And 2019 was just kind of a bad year. Like, I moved here back to California. My wife and I were kind of at it, you know, whatever. And I was going to take my life.
Oh, damn.
So.
And this was 2019, you said?
Yeah, Christmas, actually. So.
Damn.
That night when I had the gun to my head, you know, I kind of decided, like, I was going to make a change for the better. Mm-hmm. And so shortly after that, I did quit drinking officially, like, officially March 23rd of 2020 was when I just 100% quit drinking alcohol altogether.
Yeah.
But that's when I started running, too.
Really?
And then I signed up for an Ironman, so...
As we're drinking this.
As we're drinking.
Yeah, go ahead and talk. Yeah.
This, so... yeah, let me take a sip. It's so good.
Yeah, and right now we're drinking Athletic Brew, you guys.
Yeah, so I'm an ambassador through them, and I found them in 2020, but that was after I started losing the weight. Mm-hmm. So when I started running and training and all that, I dropped a ton of weight. So, like, the 2 years prior to that, I lost maybe half the 120 pounds that I lost. Well, maybe 50 pounds. I lost 50. And then...
The year prior, you said, to all that happening?
Yeah, so okay, I lost the 50 pounds.
So you were still, like, working out, or you said you were beginning?
I was powerlifting and stuff. I wasn't running. I got back into swimming again because swimming was naturally where I...
So we must have played water polo against each other.
We did.
Okay,
we did.
Yeah, gotcha.
You were a B-back.
That's why I asked how old you were because, that's why I was instantly like, okay,
Probably played against my brother, too, my younger brother.
What's your younger brother's name again?
Patrick.
Patrick. I must have. Golden Valley, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the last one to go to Golden Valley.
Okay.
Everybody else has gone to El Cap now.
The new
high school.
Yeah, the new one.
But that's where I was coaching. So coaching, you know, it really helped me. And I was getting back into coaching when I moved to Lompoc, too. Mm-hmm. I took over the water polo team there. And I was having fun. But then the pandemic hit. And
is that when you kind of did that when you...
That's when I started just running. I signed up for the Ironman. And I just set goals because I didn't have any goals at all, like nothing. So I'm like, what the fuck am I doing with my life if I don't have any goals?
Yeah.
I'm working out of prison. It's a depressing friggin' environment.
Yeah,
to be in,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'm letting my job get to me.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem was.
I was going to ask, and so was that like part of, were you just kind of depressed from that and PTSD
and then from combat and stuff like that. It's just bringing up past experiences I didn't want
to, and kind of like anymore. Reliving it every day at work and then not doing anything to get your mind off of it or anything like that.
So I actually started climbing in 2020.
Okay.
So I bouldered and I was like, you know what? I kind of want to be on Ninja Warrior. Uh-huh. So I started training for that, but I realized, you know, to climb and to do obstacles and stuff, you kind of got to lose a little more weight. So then I started running more and more and adding more running in. And I signed up for the Ironman and I was like...
And when was that? When was your first Ironman?
My first Ironman was Madison, Wisconsin, 2021. So just last year.
Okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But I started training September in 2021 because...
Oh, 2020, right?
In 2020, yeah. Because my climbing gym closed. So... and it, you know, it's just a hard time to try and get anybody to want to hang out together because nobody wanted to be around anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So then I started running, swimming in the ocean, and I got a bike and just started doing all that, getting ready for this triathlon. Well, then my wife signed up for a 25K, which was in Lompoc.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
25K is how many miles?
It's 15.
15.
So just over half marathon. But it was on a trail.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
So this course, it's Drum Canyon, which you can look it up on Ultra Sign Up as well. But
is that where you run a lot?
No, so this is on a private ranch.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So the guy that I'm kind of learning under, because I want to be a race director too, he's going to have me kind of possibly take over some of his races. His name's Luis Escobar. He's in the book Born to Run, if you guys have ever read it.
I've heard of it, though.
So he's not mentioned too much in that book, which is crazy because, like, he's like a professional ultra runner, too, himself. He's a photographer. Like, you've probably seen his work. He does the slow marathon every year, or the Big Sur marathon.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So he photographs that. He's been the photographer for Scott Jurek. So when he did the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fastest Known Time.
Yeah, no, I watched that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's in the book for Scott Jurek's book North as well.
Okay, gotcha.
So he's the race director for Born to Run, which...
And how did you guys get linked up?
So this first trail run that I did, Drum Canyon, my wife signed up for the 25K, and I was like, well, what's the other option? Because she was wanting me to do the 25K with her. And she's like, well, there's a 50K, and I was like, well, I just want to do that one then.
Yeah, okay.
And she's like, so you want to one-up me? And I was like, well, kind of, but I just want to see what I can do.
Because yeah.
The only other race we did was like the run or die run or whatever, where they throw dye at you. That's so stupid.
I've done beta breakers before, which is very similar. I mean, it's 7 miles. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, those are such rip-off races, dude.
I mean,
I don't even count those as a race.
Yeah, yeah, they're not. It's more of a fun event than it is a race. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So we went out and did this, and my mother-in-law came out, watched the kids, and then we went out to this ranch early as hell in the morning at fucking 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Parked. Everybody's crowded in the porta potties. Like, we don't know what to expect because we've never been to a trail run or anything like that. And we get to the start line, and this guy, Luis Escobar, is the race director, and he has a shotgun in his hand, and we're like, okay.
Is that how he starts the race?
That's how he starts the race. So this...
Go, motherfuckers. Yeah,
this race was a loop course. It was 3 loops for 10 miles each. And Lewis likes to do races that have a lot of vertical.
Okay.
He just likes to put vertical in all the races. So
likes to put people to the test on themselves.
For this being my first race, it was a lot of vertical.
And
it
was, well, what was the elevation in that one?
It was 3,800 feet every 10 miles.
Dude.
And I've never ran more than 5 miles before that.
And you're about to run 30?
And I ran 30, yeah.
Dang.
So I got hooked because right at the beginning he said, if you get lost, hurt, or die, it's your own damn fault. Shit. So make the cutoff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I finished that race in 6 hours, which is kind of typical for a first-time ultra runner.
Uh-huh.
But I never ran a marathon.
You weren't prepping to do that. No, yeah, yeah.
No. Like, I was prepping to do maybe a marathon for my
Ironman. Ironman, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was still in the beginning phases of that. I wasn't even at the marathon length yet. So then I just jumped the gun and went for it, you know? And so then after that, I was like, man, I really like this community.
During that one, though, are you just like...
Oh, I'm just
battling yourself on, like, what the fuck am I doing?
The whole time.
Like, yeah.
Like, the first lap, I was in the top 10. I was like...
And so how many laps was it for...
It was 3.
Okay, gotcha.
So the first lap, I was in the top 10. I got back to the main aid station, got some food, whatever, ran back out. I was still in the top 10 coming into the second loop. The third loop, though, because I'm not used to all the ground pounding, I blew out my quads. So then I was walking the whole, like, last 5 miles.
Damn.
Because it was just up, down, up, down. And, you know, the first lap, I'm keeping up with guys that have been running for freaking years.
Yeah, yeah, like, who do this?
And I was like, you know, I didn't have anything in mind about pace, anything like that. I just wanted to do what felt good and make sure my heart rate was right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't paying attention to any of that just because of the adrenaline. And it was my first race. Didn't know what to expect, so... If any of you are thinking about doing an ultra, definitely do your homework first and know, like, nutrition is key. Hydration is key. If you cannot stick in the front group with your ability, don't push it. Run your own race. Like, that's the big saying, run your own race. You do what you can do. Don't do what you think you can do that somebody else can do. Like, if you're not there, you're not there.
Yeah.
You got to do what you can to the best of your ability. And then you'll build from there. Cause like trail running, I've been doing it for almost 2 years now. Cause last year was my first race.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've done.
How many races since that?
Okay. So, so Drum Canyon was the first one.
All right.
And then I did the Ironman.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then I was kind of debating if I wanted to do another Ironman or not. Cause the bike just sucks on your ass. Like,
I imagine.
I get ass sores. And
you don't ever get, like, I don't know. I think I just watched too many videos of people getting eaten by sharks, but Like swimming out there in the ocean?
Oh, I love swimming in the ocean.
I don't know. I'm just so like I.
That's like the last thing you got to worry about.
Yeah.
The thing you got to worry about the most is hypothermia and jellyfish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not even sharks. If you come in face-to-face with a shark, as long as you're not wearing a wetsuit, if you're wearing like a Speedo like I do, and if you know how to deal with sharks from watching divers, like all you got to do is push their nose and they'll leave you alone.
I don't know, man. I watched the, have you ever seen the video in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
No. That one was...
If you look up on Google right now, you look up sharks in Australia, there's a picture that says man-eating sharks on this side of the island, man-eating sharks on this side.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crocs and man-eating sharks on this side of the island.
Yeah, they have saltwater ones and
shit. And then there's like one little spot in Australia that's...
you can go and...
You can probably swim in
there. Yeah, it's probably okay, huh?
But everywhere else, you're fucked.
But what's wild, too, right now is that the whole Santa Cruz and our whole coast right now, there are a lot of great whites, like especially in Santa Cruz, like a wild amount.
Well, the temperature is changing right now.
Yeah, right.
And it's migrating time, so they all go down to Guadalupe Island.
And that's isn't that where they
in Mexico and
breed?
They spawn?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they spawn in warmer and water, but great whites because of
the whale
migrations and stuff. That's more food for them, so they follow those.
Gotcha. And I know that what's wild is that like a great white like mating has never been recorded ever. It's like because apparently it's either done at like some depth or like some area that it's called. What is it? It's called Shark Island. Look up a shark breeding ground name.
Yeah.
Or great white shark, but...
While he's doing that...
Yeah, sorry.
okay, so I did the 50K, the Ironman, the 50-miler last December, and then after that 50-miler, I was hooked. I was like, I need to do more ultras. So then I signed up for...
And so those races, how long since that first race? Like 6 months?
So after the first race... I volunteered at a couple of races. Mm-hmm. So I volunteered at Born to Run, which if you get on Ultra Sign Up, you got to look up Born to Run. It's happening April, the week of Easter. So the weekend that Easter is on, well, if you sign up for the 4-day, you can go out there all week and run for 4 days if you're crazy like me. And or you could just do the 0.0K, which we have a ceremony where you take shots of Fireball.
Really?
There's stripper poles on main camp, and it gets wild, dude. Like, it's like the Coachella of running. Yeah, it's and
that's
then,
a good description of it.
But the run that I'm going to on Halloween, Javelina 100, is the Burning Man of ultra running.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So everybody's in costume and shit, and you feel like you're hallucinating in the middle of the day when it's hot.
Damn.
Yeah.
And you're doing that in October, and that's 100 miles.
Yeah.
And so let's
rewind.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
So I did Santa Barbara Nine Trails, which is a 35-mile endurance run, and that is 12,000 feet of elevation gain. Ray Miller, the 50-miler that I did in that December, was it was about the same as Santa Barbara Nine Trails. But the thing about Santa Barbara Nine Trails is it only gets worse before it gets worse. If you're not really into ultra running, you should probably have some more mileage on you before you do that one. So, like, I finished just at 10 hours for that one, the same amount of time that I finished my 50-miler, if that puts anything into perspective with how hilly it is, because it's just up and down and up and down and up and down on all nine trails. So then a week after that, I was sponsored by Athletic Brewing to do Ironman Oceanside.
Oh, really?
The 70.3. So I was on a team.
So 1 week after that?
Literally a week. I went from being sore a little bit from that 35-mile run, which is why I didn't push it. I could have went a lot faster, but I was like, you know, I don't want to be stupid because I got this race. And then a week and a half after Ironman Oceanside, I did Born to Run. And that's where I ran 150 miles.
Oh, my God. So 150 miles in how many days?
So I did 2.5 days. I did 37 hours total out of the 96 they gave us.
Okay.
So, like, I took breaks at night when I should have been running at night.
When it was cooler?
When it was cooler. And I ran during the heat of the day. So the first day I did 40. The second day I did 60. So I did 100 within the first, under the first 24 hours. I did 100.
Damn.
And then the next day I got up. I was a little sore. I started running. I did 30, and then
I was a little sore.
And then and then they did the last official beer mile, because every day we do a beer mile at
like a certain time.
Yeah. So, and it's bragging rights. Like, it's shit goes down, dude. There's like hundreds of people that do this beer mile. Like, you get four beers, and you run a quarter mile. Uh-huh. Run back, chug the beer.
Oh, trust me, we're familiar with beer miles.
Okay, you're familiar with the beer miles?
I'm so bad at fantasy football, I've done plenty of beer miles.
Yeah, yeah, so that's our...
if you look up Patrick Sweeney on Instagram uh-huh. and Facebook, he is a nudist now. He lives on the Olivedell Ranch.
I don't know if I can...
Won't put it online.
Yeah, just don't put it on there. But if anybody wants to do their homework, he is the world record holder for naked beer mile and barefoot.
Barefoot?
Yeah, he's a barefoot runner because we wear Luna sandals. So that, like,
oh, really?
So Barefoot Ted, he was also in Born to Run.
That's what you wear? You wear sandals?
I do wear sandals, yeah.
The whole time, or do you switch?
I switch back and forth. So I wear Ultras.
Okay, gotcha.
For my trail running shoe.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been back and forth between my Luna sandals and that. Just because, I don't know, running in sandals, I run a little faster too. Which is weird, because...
You think that not.
But it's more freeing. You know, your toes are spread out. And that's why I like Ultras, because it feels like I'm running in my sandals.
Still. Yeah.
And with the zero drop. So if you, if you're going to be a trail runner, you know...
The brand or the...
If your feet aren't... if you don't have narrow feet, don't go with a Hoka. Don't go with On. Don't go with any of those brands. If your toes are, like, crunched up together, you need some Ultras to spread your toes out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to give you better grip with your running, too, with your strides.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so Pat Sweeney, he is, like, always winning the beer mile.
This dude here.
That's him right there. And he is actually going to attempt to do the California Coast Trail.
Is it the whole California coast?
Yeah, all the way up to Oregon. So starting in September, he's going to go for the FKT for that.
Dang. How many miles is that?
It's just a little less than the PCT.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
But, yeah, it's pretty equivalent.
Looks like 1,200 mile, 1,230.
Yeah, so it's like half of what the PCT is.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
But still.
And then if you look at Michael Verstig, he was the FKT leader for the Arizona Trail, and then Joe McConaughey, he just took it back. But Verstig is he's a sandal runner too.
Man, really?
And he comes to Born to Run too every year. He's from Arizona, from Flagstaff. There's a lot of Flagstaff runners.
Oh, he does run in sandals.
Yeah, that's Cocodona.
He's not. You're telling the truth.
So Cocodona 250. Cocodona 250 just started last year, and then this year he dropped out because he got injured at Born to Run because we do Luche wrestling. On I'm telling you, it gets fucking weird. You just got to go open minded.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think Burning Man and everything else, like you're describing it.
But like I said, you can do 0.0K. It's like $25.
Mm-hmm.
If you volunteer, you can camp for free and you know, be a part of the action.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a tattoo guy out there that does tattoos.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He has a special tattoo for every year. So this year, my friend Max died, and we ran Santa Barbara Nine Trails together.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him at Born to Run last year, and so he's a hobo. Like, we called him Hobo Max.
Yeah.
Like, he jumped trains, like, for real.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just loved to run and...
Yeah.
And
he's free. Fast. Like, he's fast, too.
Dang.
Yeah. But, I don't know the whole story.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't want to get into that.
No worries.
But yeah, so the tattoo is a train, and it said...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I didn't get one. I still don't have any tattoos.
Yeah,
but,
same.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Not me over here. But yeah, no worries. Dang. So, and then how...
But then I did Quicksilver 100K a month after the 150.
Dang.
And then I just did
Waldo. So you like... Once you, like, really started going, like, it just, like...
Yeah, I mean...
You've been going ever since on, like...
From reading a lot of other runners' books and talking to other runners, if you just keep putting your body through the hurt, then it gets used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you build up that tolerance to the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm just sick and twisted, but I like the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So like my feet are the only thing that hurt right now, and usually it's my lower back and my hip flexors.
Yeah.
Right now it's just my feet, so I put more of a pounding on my feet this time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I rolled my ankle too. On
oh,
some rocks,
damn,
so.
Really?
Yeah, that was it. A little after the mile 42 aid station.
Do you tape up or anything?
No.
No?
So I use Go sleeves, but it was for my shins
because
I get shin splints
pretty bad
gotcha. On the longer distances. Mm-hmm. So it's like a compression sleeve with KT tape inside of it.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Which also I'm a partner with them. So if you guys want a 15% discount, just let me know. I'm marketing myself here.
No, that's completely fine, man. That's completely fine.
No, so like there's knee sleeves,
uh-huh.
there's elbow sleeves. So, you know, if you're a baseball player, you know, the elbow sleeves are come in handy, tennis player, golf, whatever.
And are these all like kind of injury prevention things?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a cream that you rub on, you let it sit in for 10 minutes, and then you put the sleeve on. And I haven't had any shin splints since I started using them, and I wore them for my whole entire race yesterday, and I don't have any issues. So if that doesn't tell you anything, you know, they're doing their job. And then my dad, he's got a knee problem, so I gave him a knee sleeve, and he was running like 10-minute miles with me when I was warming up. And he's like, I haven't been able to run anything faster than a 13-minute mile in years. And I was like, well, there you go.
That's so cool.
It works.
Yeah, know? Yeah. That's real cool. So you did these races, and then maybe we can continue back on with our the beginning story was about the most recent race, right? Is that where we were at? Yeah. And then so that race you did yesterday, like we're talking about, you ran 60. How many miles?
So,
you ran a little more, huh?
Yeah, I ran a little more. So,
Go. Can I try that Michelada one?
Yeah, let's try that Michelada. Yeah. Try it too.
Yeah, dude. I literally love micheladas. Athletic Brew. I like your stuff.
So, sorry, I dropped that one.
It's all good.
It just explodes on him.
I'm gonna drink the Free Wave because I'm a West Coast dude and I like West Coast IPAs.
Oh,
so
yeah,
this is a hazy. My friend Clint, he's host on Beer on the Run podcast, which is another good podcast.
I'll have to check that out. No, I would like. No, I like to diversify.
He does not like hazy IPAs,
and he likes it. And he likes that.
No, he doesn't like hazy IPAs. He talks shit on anybody that drinks hazy IPAs, and I go, well, fuck you, because I like hazy.
Yeah,
IPAs.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for being here, Duffy. Here.
Cheers.
All the way in the corner.
Oh, there we go. Cheers. Three. Oh, I like that.
Wow. That's really good.
That's real good.
Yeah, so I'm hoping
I should have read this. But go.
I'm hoping they bring it back for Cinco de Mayo again next year.
Yeah, dude. That's real good.
Yeah. Good. The one that I got is it's a flagship beer, so it's year-round.
Oh, okay, guys. It always comes.
And then Cerveza Athletica, it's a seasonal beer, but kind of a flagship. So they do it for 6 months out of the year. That's more of like a Dos Equis.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Like a Mexican lager or whatever.
I have a ton of that at home right now.
Oh, really? Really?
I really like that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty
during
good.
During the summertime, yeah.
And so you were telling me these kind of like do things for you too, or like some of them?
So with alcohol, you know, it's not good for recovery. Like, it's the opposite. A lot of people think
it dehydrates
that
you.
people are like, you know, I need to recover. I'm going to drink some alcohol right now. Well, it's going to dehydrate you and not let your muscles, you know, recover and your ligaments and all that. Like, it's just going to tear you up more.
Yeah.
So with this, like, I'm not compromising my athletic ability at all, which is why it's our saying, like, without compromise.
Oh, okay.
And,
gotcha.
And you're not, like, for some people, you know, some people went to be sober. And some people just do it because they don't want to drink as much. So they drink non-alcoholics throughout the week. And then on the weekend, you know, like, everybody still kind of drinks, you know.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's not like 100%, you know, sober this, but.
But it allows you to enjoy like these things, like when you're out there and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so are they like, Athletic Brew pairs himself with like different athletes and things like that, right?
Yeah. So we have a lot of professional athletes. Like, there's a female climber. She's lesbian. During Pride Month, they do the Rainbow Wall. It's an all right beer. I've had it. But yeah, every month we come out with a different beer. The other one that I got in there is the Superfood Swell, mm-hmm. which is with Laird Hamilton.
Yeah.
Laird Hamilton, the surfer.
Beast.
Yeah. Yeah, so like Arribe, they got with Arribe on that one. So it's the Mexican lager mixed with Arribe to make the chilada.
That's good, dude.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I'm so glad we brought up that in the talk that we had with the brewers that night.
Yeah, dude.
It was right at the right time. And they were like, oh, we could brew this and have it ready for Cinco de Mayo.
Perfect.
Wow. That's cool, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But are they like healthy for you? You know what I mean? I guess that's my question.
Yeah. So they're vegan.
Uh-huh.
The calories are really low. As you can see, that one is 65. The one I got here is 70.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's a quarter of the calories of what an actual beer would be.
Damn.
Unless you're drinking a really super light beer, I mean,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
like Ultras or
how do they
65
get?
Whatever.
Yeah, Michelob.
Like, yeah, I have
or not Ultras, not Michelob Ultras, but
no,
that's what I drink.
No, sorry.
Isn't it like Michelob Light or whatever?
There we
it's
go.
Like,
yeah.
70 calories or something like that.
But are they called Ultras or no? Are they? There are Ultras. There's a Michelob Ultra.
I don't know.
People always make fun of the way they say. I say Michelob.
Is it because they're that skinny can, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're a little more skinnier of a can.
They are Ultras.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. It's like, the only thing I drink is Ultras. I run Ultra Marathon.
I'm an Ultra Marathoner. I drink Ultras.
Anything with Ultra, I do.
Yeah, you know, you just gave me another idea for a new athletic beer.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Let's
the one catered towards that.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, back to
ultra
our other.
Ultra light.
Yeah, I know.
And we take this time to interrupt the podcast. Yes, you guys, we have middle ad reads. This podcast is brought to you by Marcus Rodriguez. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in this competitive market and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than Merced's preferred realtor, Marcus Rodriguez. He'll make the process go as smooth and easy as possible, and you can reach him at 209-554-1715. Once again, that's 209-554-1715. Visit his website, www.myagentmarcus.com, or email him, info@myagentmarcus.com. Thanks again, Marcus. So it's the middle of the podcast. You probably have a lot of things on your mind, like that big pile of junk that's in your backyard. Well, that's where Be Junk Free Merced comes in. Everyone has stuff that is taking up space, but not everyone has the time or equipment to do something about it. That's where Scott Levesey comes in. If you have junk overtaking your garage, yard, spare room, or even a storage unit, give Be Junk Free and Merced a call at 209-233-1519. Once again, that's 209-233-1519. Thanks again, Scott. This podcast is brought to you by Thor. If you're in the Central Valley area and you're looking to get a great tattoo, look no further than this dude right here. Thor is a versatile artist who specializes in black and gray realism. He's located in Merced at the Merced Tattoo and Piercing Company. And if you'd like to get in contact him, the best thing I can recommend to you guys is go into the shop on the first or second of the month and make yourself an appointment in person. If you're unable to do that, then you can try to reach out to him on Instagram. That's @_Thor5E's. So that's @_Thoreeeeee. Stop by the shop. Thanks again, Thor.
But okay, and then so I think we've been talking about your race that you've been doing.
The race yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. So
you said you had texted me saying a couple things had went wrong or something.
Yeah. So everything in the beginning was right. You know, I started out on the hill, first climb. I got at least a good 2-3 mile gap on everybody, and I was in the front. Over the first 20 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I summited Mount Fuji first. It was beautiful seeing Waldo Lake and the fog over the lake. And yeah.
And you guys start there, kind of? Or that's your first location?
That was, so Mount Fuji is the first climb.
Okay, gotcha.
So where we started was the ski resort at Willamette Pass.
Okay, gotcha.
And then you climb up and then you go down some rolling hills. You go into the first aid station, which is 6-7 miles away. And then from there, then you go over to the mountain and start climbing to the next aid station, mm-hmm. which is on the mountain. And then you go and summit to the top and then come back down and then you hit that aid station again.
Okay, gotcha.
So then, I drank all my water because with my hydration vests, I carry two 20-ounce liters.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, two 20-ounce pouches of water. And so normally whenever you leave an aid station with whatever water you have, you want to come back to it empty.
Yeah.
So
you want to be staying hydrated.
I wanted to stay on top of my hydration, which that was like the best thing I did all day was staying hydrated. Like I was peeing clear all day long. And when I swelled up, I was like, okay, I need more electrolytes. So I took
a salt. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
When you swell up?
So if you swell up, you're either not drinking enough water, but if you're peeing clear, you're drinking enough water.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next indicator is I need salt or electrolytes.
Yeah.
So if that happens, then when I hit an aid station, then I'll fill up one pouch with water, one pouch with half and half electrolyte water.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my salt tabs on me too. So I'll usually take half of one, chug some of that water because, you know, you need that water till the next aid station, which could be 7+ miles sometimes. So my nutrition was on point the whole race. Like it was.
And what do you eat? Do you eat during this?
Yeah. So peanut butter and jellies, salted chips, potatoes, you dip them in salt, throw them in your mouth. There you got bowl of M&Ms on the table. You just take a big handful, throw it down your mouth. A lot of the food that you want to grab, though, you grab it stiff, just put it in your vest, or if you got shorts that have pockets, you know, you just stuff whatever you can and then take it with you. So, like, fresh fruit, I'll eat it right there.
And so, how long are you stopping at these stations?
No more than 3 minutes. You want to be in and
really?
Out.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
And this is because you're doing it four times. Like, you know what I mean?
You're doing it four times, but the longer you stand in an area, the faster your body's going to seize up and not want to move anymore. So, like, when I got to the halfway point, my dad was there with my change of socks because I went through some water and got my first pair all soaking wet, and my feet were just rubbing so hard in my shoes, which is probably why my feet hurt a little bit.
Right, like you're saying.
Because I was running for 15 miles with them like that.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's literally the worst wet sock.
When I got there, I untied my shoes. One of the volunteers came over. I pulled out my pouches for them to refill the water.
Uh-huh.
They put in a popsicle in my mouth, an Otter Pop. And when I came into the aid station, they had a sign that said Otter Pops ahead. So when I came into the aid station, I was like, Otter Pop. And then they brought like a few of them to me. So then I pulled my shoes off. My dad changed my socks while I was trying to drink some coconut water. Because I drink a lot of coconut water for races because it's already got natural electrolytes. So it helps me stay hydrated longer. And, so mile 25, I missed some signage because I was on the PCT. And I guess I didn't see the signage. And the course was pretty well marked with the indicators. But while it's on the PCT, we can't have any of our course markings because then it will interfere with the through hikers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gotcha.
And you can't put anything on the trail that throws them off because for some of them that could mean like hazard up ahead or whatever because, you know, the fires are going on too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't see the signage because I was looking down. I was peeing, drinking water, trying to stay hydrated, eating food and not paying attention ahead of me. And it was still a little dark because it was early in the morning. So then it got quiet and I was like, I should be at the aid station looking at my watch. Like it should be right here. But it was further ahead by a mile. So I thought I was lost and I turned around and started running and I was pissed. I was yelling at myself. I had so much negative self-talk, like cursing myself out. Like it's one thing you don't want to do is freak out like that in a race because then it just changes your whole momentum.
Yeah.
And so like I'm pounding down the mountain again, going back down the trail that I just came up for 2 miles. I went back on the course.
Damn.
And I'm running 6.5-7 minute mile pace down this hill, pounding out my quads because I'm so fucking pissed and not paying attention to what my pace was at the time. So I ran 2 miles down and the next guy finally came up who started behind me too. He's like, where are you going? And I was like, I think I'm off course. He's like, no, dude, we're on course. How far have you ran now? I was like, 2 miles. He's like, fuck, dude. So I added on a whole nother 4 miles onto my race.
So you unplanned.
Yeah. So you were on trail, or you just went too far?
I was on trail, but because I didn't see the aid station, because according to my watch, it should have been right there.
Yeah.
All I had to do was run another mile-ish or so,
because
they set it up further back.
Oh, man.
Right off the PCT.
You thought you were mad at yourself then. I was kidding.
Yeah. I was real, like, yeah. It ate me all the
just
rest
because,
of the day.
Yeah, because you were trying to do a PR, right?
Yeah. So my fastest 100K was 15 hours, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At my last 100K in May, but that was after coming off of that 150 mile
run. Yeah.
So my legs were like not fully recovered.
Yeah.
So I was like, I could do way better than this. And like, I was trying to go sub 14 hours, maybe a 13 hour finish.
Mm-hmm.
So because I went off course a little bit, I added on like another 40 minutes onto my time.
Mm-hmm.
Plus when I got to the aid stations, I added on a little more time because of frustration, just being mad at myself. So instead of being in and out 3 minutes, some of them were a little longer.
Yeah.
Like, especially the halfway point when I finally got there to change out my socks, I was probably at the aid station for 4 or 5 minutes total.
Mm-hmm.
Just to change socks and make sure I had everything. I got my hiking poles at that point because I was like, my foot started hurting because of the water rubbing on my foot. And so I was like, even if there's a little bit of hills in here, I'm going to need the poles right now. Which is a good thing I did, because mm-hmm. that's when it got really hot and it was rolling hills up. So it wasn't rolling hills down.
Uh-huh.
And swarms of bees. And yeah, it was miserable. But when I got to the aid station at Vegas, because it's Las Vegas aid station, they threw popsicles in my mouth. They had me spin a wheel my luck. Like, they made you feel like you were in Vegas.
Yeah.
So it kind of lifted my spirits a little bit right before the next 8 miles to the next aid station. In another hot section.
Yeah.
But
it was like high desert, kind of?
No.
No? It was just hot that day?
It's just, yeah. It just gets hot at that point mm-hmm. in the day. Because all morning it was cold.
Yeah.
And, so right after mile 42, going up to Maiden Peak, I rolled my ankle. And because it's real rocky.
Mm-hmm.
You're going from mile 42 to the next aid station, which is all uphill. And then from that aid station, you're going up another 3 miles. So in a total, you're going up, 7 or 8 miles all the way up to the peak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're gaining another, going from 5,000 feet of elevation all the way up to over 9,000. So
that's so wild.
And it's real rocky terrain and real switchbacky. And yeah, like, I just had to stop quite a bit, lean on my poles. And
how
just,
do you, for your elevation, is that what you try to go up there just like a day early just to acclimate to it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or? So that's kind of what my plan was, which is why I wanted to go a couple days early. So my dad and I went and got some runs in at elevation. Because the most training I get in California is just doing hill repeats.
Mm hmm.
Which gets boring and tiring pretty fast.
Well, and it's not the same as like being at like your base is at 4,000 feet. You know what I mean?
Huh? Yeah, like living in Colorado, most Colorado runners are like the best trail
runners.
They live at elevation.
Yeah.
They do all these hard races that they live next to. So for them, it comes a little easier running out at races like this.
Mm-hmm.
But for people in California, it's a little harder. So.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see with most elite trail athletes, or even just trail athletes that have a little more time and money and not a lot of kids or anything like that. Like me, I have to really set my schedule with my wife, because she works full-time. She has her own business mm-hmm. in Lompoc. I work full-time, and then I train on my off time and mm-hmm. then spend time with my kids, like, for the other half of my day. So, like,
yeah.
Out of the 24 hours, I'm working for 8, sometimes 16, because we get mandatory, and then having to try and throw training in there too. So, like, on days like that, I do yoga to stretch out and, you know, recover. Like, every day it changes. Mm-hmm. Even though I have something set, it's not always going to go that way. Not going to go as planned.
So, but what is, like, a typical day? Like, so you're prepping for it, you have an 8-hour work day. Like, what does your day look like for training on, like, a...
So I try to go on my run or swim or whatever as soon as I get out of work. So I'll set like two and a half, maybe 3 hours at most aside.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have to spend time with my kids.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not leave them on my wife all day. So
yeah, yeah.
If I do an hour and a half run, because 2 days a week I'll do fast runs,
mm-hmm.
just to get some speed work in. And then on the weekends, I typically do longer runs that are 3-4 hours long.
Mm-hmm. And do you just do more by time? Like you just go for a run for...
Yeah, well, I mean, so on speed workouts, I do distance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what my pace can be for a whole hour or a whole hour and a half and mm-hmm. how much mileage I can get in. So like for an hour and a half, I want to get 10 miles or more
mm-hmm.
in a speed workout.
And how fast is that for a speed workout, out of curiosity?
So you're running like 7-minute miles.
Damn, for 10 miles straight?
Yeah. And then with a little bit of hills too.
Yeah.
So like the best place for me to do that is there's a local trail, Burton Mesa, and then Ecological Preserve. So I run up all the way to the cell towers,
mm-hmm.
which is 1,000 feet. And then there's just so many trails in that area.
Right there, huh?
Yeah. And then we also run at...
Mexico.
Oh, yeah. That's wrong.
Yeah.
That's Burnt Mesa. It's Burton.
Oh,
like,
Burton.
Like the snowboarding company.
Burton, man. I forgot about Burton. I feel like, you know, my life... When Dude, I was younger, there was so much bigger deal in my life.
It's all the snowboarding stuff I had was Burton.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
But yeah, it's in the village
mm-hmm.
in Lompoc. And then I also run at La Prisma, the mission. So it has a bunch of trail systems there too.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two local trails that I can run. And then I have base access to Vandenberg Space Force Base. Mm-hmm. So I can go on the trails there.
Oh, really? That's cool.
I haven't yet because a lot of the people in my running group don't have access to base. So like,
okay, gotcha.
I started a local running group there. It's called VERT. So Valley uh-huh. Endurance Running Team. I started a social on Instagram for that too.
That's cool.
So I'm trying to get more people active in the trail community.
Mm-hmm. And
I hope, you know, the Central Valley can do that too because, you know, there's so many trails around here. I know we've talked about this before.
Yeah, go on.
But in Sonora, like they just built a brand new trail system.
Oh, really?
It's like a 4-mile out and back. So you get 8 miles on that one. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you go on Strava, it's an app. And then All Trails, it's another app. You can look up all these trail systems in your local areas and go to them. So like Cathy's Valley, Mariposa, Yosemite.
Mm-hmm. Jamestown.
Sonora, Jamestown.
There's so many, like you're saying.
Pinecrest.
Yeah, Pinecrest is a good one.
There's actually a race in Pinecrest. It's a 5-mile trail run.
Oh, really?
It's at the end of this month. So you can go on Ultra Sign Up and look that one up too. Like, if you're not into long distance, like... Some of us,
yeah.
If you're just a you know a short-termer guy, you're just doing it for fun. I mean, that would be a good race.
That's cool. That's cool.
But yeah, so like, you can find races anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Is there like certain sites to go to find races?
Ultra Sign Up is the best to find trail races. Mm-hmm. Some of the bigger races have their own websites, like Hard Rock 100 mm-hmm. or Badwater 135.
Yeah, is that in
Death Valley?
Yeah,
to Whitney Portal.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to do that one. That's a goal.
What's the one, Moab? They have one in Moab
240.
Yeah, that one.
They also have a 100-miler.
Oh, okay, got it.
But yeah, so like with Moab, so like there's a trio trail race that this gal puts on.
Mm-hmm.
And Bigfoot, which just happens, it's going on right now, is a 200-mile race up in Washington. And it's like $1,400 to get into that race. Just because it's aid stations like every 7 miles.
Just so. Like, yeah, but just for
but
that
they have
much
to, they have to put up everything and take it back down once all the runners go through if they make the cutoff time for that.
Dang.
And then you're given 96 hours. But then after that one, there's the Tahoe Rim Trail, which is a 205-miler.
Uh-huh.
And then Moab 240.
Dang. And she puts on those three?
Yeah. And then Cocodona is through Aravaipa, which is the ones that put on Javelina 100.
Okay. Yeah.
So they do. And Cocodona 250. That's in May.
And where is that one again? No, the Halloween one. Where is that one at?
That's McDowell State Park. It's just.
It sounds super familiar.
It's northeast of Phoenix.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's out in the desert. 20-mile loops on that one.
Really?
But the Cocodona 250, that one starts from Phoenix and goes up to Flagstaff.
Oh, really? I love Flagstaff, dude.
They do a bunch of lollipops. They do a bunch of lollipops throughout all
the... So, like, you kind of go around, go out, and then go on a trail for a little while?
Go on a loop and come back, and then go back on the main trail.
Oh, okay.
So, that one, this was the second year of that one. The one that I was talking about earlier with Verstig. He dropped out at 70 miles because, you know, Born to Run does some wild shit to you.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine.
But yeah, so speaking of Born to Run, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So I signed up already for the 4-day for next year.
And you did 150 last year there?
Did 150, but I only ran 37 hours out of the 96 I'm allowed.
So you wanna up it or what?
I am upping it. And I so the course record, if you look it up on Ultra Sign Up, is by Ed Ettinghausen. He's the jester. Like, he dresses up in a jester costume.
Uh-huh. That's his... Have you got a costume or anything?
No.
No?
I just wear, you know, like, different colored outfits. Like
brighter colors. Yeah.
Just, you know, I don't know. I want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else that thinks they're an elite athlete or anything.
Yeah.
I'm not an elite athlete, but...
I mean,
I do like to stand out. You know? It's just my personality. I'm a Leo, so
yeah. All the girls are like, "Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense."
It does. My wife will tell you too.
Oh yeah, my wife will too.
Born to Run this last year. My last 20 miles, I ran in my Cheetah Speedo.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen. I've seen it from Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, so I ran in a Speedo, and they're like, "Wow, you're the first one to run in a Speedo." Congratulations. I was like, thanks.
You use a lot of nut butter for that, for chafing right?
Yeah, so I use Squirrel's nut butter and Lube Up, and I'm an ambassador with them too.
Yeah.
You kind of have to with sports like this, like, to help you with, you know, race entry.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to afford a lot of this stuff to keep you going. Like, shoes are fucking expensive, dude. Like,
well, how many, so how many shoes do you go through since you're running?
So 4 months, like, 4 months or 400 miles.
Okay, so in a week, about how many miles do you, like, on an average week, how many miles do you think you run?
On an average right now, depending on the race, so I run like 70 a week.
Damn. Oh, my God.
But
70 miles.
But training for the 100, I got to push it to like 90, 100.
Dang.
And for what I'm going to tell you right now for Born to Run this next year.
What do you want
to
do?
The course record is 270, so that's 27 loops of 10 miles, but I'm wanting to raise it to 300.
Jeez. Dang.
Because I want to beat Ed by 30 miles. And this guy, so he turns 60 this next year. And
so you want to do 200 miles in 4 days?
Huh?
Oh, how many miles?
So it's 4 days, 96 hours, but I'm going to go to 300.
300, sorry, yeah.
He has 270, and he did it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, 18 to 19.
Yeah.
270.
So if you look him up on Ultra Sign Up too, you'll see how many overall 100-mile finishes he has. He's 200-something. Him and this gal in the UK keep going back and forth.
And an ultra is over how many miles? What is technically?
An ultra is 50K or more.
Okay, gotcha.
So you can run 30 miles or more, and that's an ultra.
Yeah.
This guy, dude, he's got the world record for most 100-mile finishes.
Wow.
And he's back and forth with this gal. He had the world record, the Guinness World Record for most hundreds in a year, which was 40. And then some guy passed him up and did 50.
Jeez.
So this next year when he turns 60, he's shooting for 60.
He's that old too, doing them?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. The oldest guy that just finished Badwater, he's 77 years old.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah. That one was wild.
He's also the race director for the Keys 100 in Florida.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I did see that one. That was happened recently, right?
Yeah. Back in July.
Yeah.
It's in the hottest month of the year.
Yeah.
That's when they run the Badwater 135, which is why I make it.
Because you said that's when it ends at Whitney, right? Yeah. Because I like Alabama Hills area. That whole area right there is real cool.
I eventually want to do that race. It's on my list. Leadville 100.
Is Leadville in...
Colorado.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
That's the really high peaky one.
Yeah.
But Hard Rock 100, I think, is harder than Leadville
mm-hmm.
by far, because there's sections that there's not even trail. You have to rock climb.
And then you want to run 300 miles in 96 hours? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I know I can do it. I just got to... So right now I'm kind of figuring out where I can calculate
So will you not be able to have as much fun, you know what I mean? In the sense of not... You know what I mean?
It's fun for me. Because,
no. But I mean, like, with everybody, all the events that are going on and stuff like that.
Yeah, all the events I won't partake in.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to run a 10-mile loop with me, if they go to the event, they can pace me all they want. So, like, and like I said earlier, you know, everybody walks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not running that whole time. There are sections where I'm gonna have to walk, like up the hills.
I was gonna say, yeah, right?
Because each loop, it's like, both of the loops, because it's 2 10-mile loops that go in opposite directions, and the elevation profile is different on each one. So one's higher than the other, but you're going like, I want to say 5,500 feet every 20 miles.
Dang.
So if you do the math on that for 300, I mean.
And this is in next May, is that what you said?
Next April. Yeah. So, and right now I'm in the lottery for Hurt 100. So have you ever heard of the Hurt 100?
Whereas, no, it doesn't sound.
Yeah. So it's also one of the top 5 hardest races in the world.
Uh-huh.
And it's in Hawaii.
Oh.
And the elevation is 23,500 feet.
23,000?
Wow. That you're climbing. 23,500. And the cutoff time is 35 hours for 100 miles.
That's wild.
Yeah. So I'm doing Ray Miller again this year in December. So it's a 50 miler, but it's right a month out from the Hurt. So if I do get into the Hurt, it's perfect for the training block leading up to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
man. And when you're like, what does running do for you? You know, when you're out there, like why are you drawn to it? Why do you want to keep doing it?
So I can have the shittiest day ever and have so many problems going on, be mad at myself, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go on a run for 45 minutes, if I haven't figured out what's eating at me or how to solve it, like if I haven't figured that out, like it just means nothing to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like running, because I can let go of any bullshit excuse in the world during a 45-minute run and feel way better than what I did before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people got to realize, because mentally running's good for us. Physically, it's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally, it clears everything out. So you can have all these negative thoughts and be down in the dumps, but you can go on a run and not even remember what the hell you were mad about.
Yeah.
And that's why I do it, is like, it relieves all the stress that I have. It makes me focus better on what I have ahead. So like, for me, a lot of my goals right now are races and stuff, but on another side, I have goals of wanting to be a better husband, being a better father, which the time that I spend away, it just brings me closer to them, to where I want to spend that much more time with them. But even showing my kids, like, you can turn your life around and just, like, put your life in your own hands and prove to yourself that you're worthy of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And that's why I do it. Like, for so long, I didn't think I was good enough to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just thought I was just wasting my life away after the Army.
I think a lot of people have that type of, like, let's say you do, like you're saying, you do have a job. Like, you have a job and that's fine. Then you're like, but like, what else is there? You know what I mean? You need to have that almost purpose, you know what I mean? Or the feeling of a purpose, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, you can consider it a hobby or whatever, but to me, it's my purpose, is like, this is what's going to help me get through this life for me. It's not going to be for everybody, but, you know, I was told by a doctor after the Army never to run again because I got hurt in combat, which was another thing that led to me gaining all that weight, because I was like, well, fuck, I shouldn't run anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why I gained all that weight. And, you know, my hip was fucked up too, because same accident, because I got hurt in combat. And so, you know, you listen to all these doctors telling you to do this stuff because they're a doctor. You think they know the right answer. That's not always the case. So, like, through research, through me figuring out what shoes I needed to wear instead of the shoes I was wearing, and just, you know, getting that knowledge for myself and then just making myself do it and setting those goals, like, that's how I succeeded. Just sitting on my ass and saying I'm going to do it isn't doing it. Like, that's where, like, registering for a race, oh, fuck, I put money towards this. I got to do it now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's a motivator. you know, to motivate yourself to do these things.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly.
So if anybody's itching out there to do a race, just sign up, and then you can't really
back
out.
And what would you recommend, like, as, like, a first race to somebody, like a...
So if they want to do trail, like, there's a lot of 10Ks and 25Ks.
And that's good to kind of get the feel for what the trails are like.
But, you know, the trail running community is so welcoming to, like, anybody. Like, if it wasn't for volunteers, none of these races would happen. So, like, even if you're not into running, if you just want to volunteer, like, we need a lot of those, too, to keep mom and pop races going. Because, you know, I've done Ironmans, but corporate businesses like Ironman, Spartan, they bought out Tough Mudder, and then Ragnar, like, a lot of them are just making everything corporate, and a lot of these mom and pop races are being bought out, which, you know, I'm not against it, you know, that's America, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Capitalism, free business and stuff, but, you know...
It's like a community, huh? It's like just, its own community.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like you're part of something, almost.
You're a family.
Yeah.
And that's why I suggest if anybody wanted to do like the 10 mile or 0.0K just to be a part of Born to Run, like that is a great start. That is, I mean, again, go open-minded. I mean, there's races in anybody's area. They can, they can.
Yeah, there is. Cause me and my wife have been looking since she's been wanting to do one. And like there's so many locally, like close by, like. Whether 15 minutes away or like 2 hours
away.
Like there's plenty.
Yeah. And like me, I just drove fucking 12 hours to go to a race.
Yeah, I know. Everyone was like, he flew, right? Everyone I was telling, I was like, no, he's like, I'm pretty positive he's driving. He did some like shakeout runs and like, and then.
No, I'm not spending money on a fucking
plane ticket right
not
now.
Not on a plane ticket right now, not unless I'm going to Hawaii. You know?
Yeah.
There were gals that came out from Toronto though. Yeah, they're twins, and I ran with them for a good 20 miles at the end there.
That's cool.
And then I ended up passing them.
Oh, so what was your time? Did we ever figure out what your...
Oh, so my final official time was 14 hours, 58 minutes. So I still...
I set
my PR.
Yeah.
But I added on, you know...
E40 minutes, like you were saying,
because of the mess-up.
Yeah.
But
I mean, at least you know your mess-up, and you know, like, okay, like... And then think about that, you went 4 miles, but that's 4 miles you didn't have to. Like, you would you're more tired after those 4 miles.
Exactly, because I blew out my quads.
And then especially because you were fresh, like you're saying, you're frustrated.
It threw off my whole mindset. Because going into that race, I felt so great. Like, I ran probably my second fastest 50K time. Because my fastest on kind of vertical is... just under 5 hours, like 4.5 hours. So like I ran my 50K in 5 hours still. But just being frustrated, it really added a toll onto it. But that's the thing with racing. You know, you gotta realize like anything can happen to you at any moment in a race, and it's all up here. So like me wanting to do the 300 miles, physically, I'm going to be incapable at some point, but mentally, that's what's going to keep me going, is knowing that like I'm doing this for a purpose, because I want to be the first one to do a 300 mile race because nobody has.
And so, in that amount of time?
Yeah.
Ever? Like ever. Not even like, damn.
So
that's dope,
like in a organized race.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
People with attempts for like FKTs and stuff, maybe. But on an organized race.
That's sick.
No. So.
And do you like tell them going into it? Like, this is like what I'm planning on doing. You know what I mean?
I've told a few people. Like, well, now it's like public.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't told anybody.
Yeah. Well, now you have.
Now I have. It's out there.
So, but yeah.
So that's just.
And it's a little more like that's a little some motivation too for you too. Like,
yeah. Cause I got, with 150 miles this year, I got sixth place overall at that race. At Waldo yesterday, I got 46th overall because I started in the early group. That's what set me back, but also, you know, being the fuck up that I did out on the trail.
Yeah.
But if I would have started at the regular time at 5 o'clock instead of 3 and wouldn't have made the mess up, But who knows? Because you know the heat would have affected me differently than two, or the cold.
There's always the what ifs, man.
It's all the different factors.
That's what you're running and you're thinking about.
But if I would have finished at the time that I would have had without making that mess up, I would have finished top 30. So
damn,
I went back by 16 spots just because of that.
Yeah, because me and my wife, when we were looking at you, like, because you gave me the app and everything.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was like, for a little while there, we were like, hey, he's been in, like, it says he's been in the same spot for, like, longer than the other ones or whatever. I don't know when it was, but.
It updates every time you get to an ancient.
Oh, okay, is that what it is?
Yeah.
So maybe that one time then.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, damn.
Yeah.
And then when you're running out there, do you ever, like, hallucinate or anything? You know what I mean? Like because, like, you're, like, I don't know if you're dehydrated. I don't know what's going on, but I imagine you've run 100 miles, you might. Try some crybaby wine, you know, also while we're at it.
Let me get some of that crybaby wine so I can kind of cry about my mistake here.
There we go.
So during the 150, I was by myself a lot of the time, and when you're by yourself for a very long time, and you're not listening to music, you're just in your head. When it gets hot or cold, you think you start seeing like mountain lions, which they probably were there, or bobcats or, you know, stuff like that. But then you start seeing maybe your friends from the past that are dead, and maybe your grandpa, and you have a full-on conversation with these people. And yeah, it gets pretty weird. Or you think you see a guy dressed in a banana costume, which that might have been there.
That might have been there.
That might have been there.
What the things you've been saying about the...
So, I mean...
Really?
Here, let's cheers.
Cheers to this. So first time having some crybaby wine. Sponsor the podcast. Thank you guys for sending it to me. Mm. Well, that's pretty good.
And where are they from?
They're somewhere local. I believe they are from... I think it's somewhere near Fresno. Let's see. Mm. Yeah,
you can definitely tell with the soil, you know, that it's definitely a Central Valley.
Central Valley, man. I wish I knew. Can you look that up? Thank you, Duffy. Yeah. I was like, I wish I knew more information.
And their sponsors.
Yeah.
It just says the finest vineyards in California.
Yeah.
Can't see.
That's really good.
Yeah, you know.
Go to about.
It's not like other. It's not like other non-alcoholic wines where it kind of tastes like grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got it. You know, kind of that real wine flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole thing with them is, like, yeah, they put that CBD in it. CBD and CBG.
Oh. Well, shit. Now I'm going to really relax.
Yeah.
Won't be such a crybaby.
It's a good name for it. Mm-hmm. No, I really like that.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
I like the little tartness to it.
With non-alcoholic beers, wines, even regular beers and wines, marketing is all by the name.
Yeah.
That's how you draw us in. Because, you know, we want something to make us laugh. Something that's just catchy.
Yeah, well, that's why I changed from Real Talk and Whatnot to Central Valley Podcast. But that was only because Central Valley Podcast describes what it is easily. You know what I mean? Real Talk and Whatnot, it's like, I really like that name, but it's just like, what is that? You don't know. You know what I mean? And
like, my favorite beer that I drank from around the area was Rubicon Brewing Monkey Knife Fight IPA. That was my favorite beer, the go-to that I always drank. I brought like a six-pack with me anywhere I went.
Really?
And now you can't find it around here. They're out of Sacramento, though.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But it just depends on the store. Like, Sig Mart always had it. Rayleigh's always had it. Whenever they got it, they ran out of it.
Yeah.
So I think they stopped buying it. Because every time I come into town, I try to look for it to bring it back to a friend or something so they can try it so they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like,
I don't think I've ever had it.
Yeah, look it up.
What's it called? Knife
fight? Monkey knife fight.
Monkey. I was like knife
fight?
Yeah,
it has a monkey on the bottle. Yeah.
And it's a brewery out of Sacramento?
Yeah, Rubicon.
Just so.
It's an IPA. Yep. Oh, no. Tower Brewing. I thought it was Rubicon, unless they changed ownership.
Formerly.
Yeah, okay, so they changed ownership.
Wow.
Maybe that's what the whole issue was. They were going through changes.
Monkey Knife Fight.
Yeah.
It's a pale ale.
Yeah.
But it tastes different, you think?
Just they have a pale ale. They have like three different kinds, I think. But the one that has the green label, that's the good one. But yeah, It'll get you fucked up.
Is that a lot of a percentage?
Yeah.
A high percentage?
Yeah.
Like, you remember, have you ever had the confused therapist from Dust Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
That shit's like, I don't know, it's like 13 or 14%.
Yeah, the rapist.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I remember
two of those and you
gave it to me and I was like, the rapist, the confused rapist. Oh, that's a little funny. I forgot about that one, honestly.
I honestly miss that brewery that was in Mariposa that did the Mariposa Midnight.
Yeah, no, I remember that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he just, he didn't want to work anymore.
Yeah, just stopped it.
Yeah. That was a really good beer. It was a dry stout.
Stouts are always like surprising. I do like stouts when I get them, but it's always like, I'm always afraid to try them because sometimes I'm like, it's like a commitment. You know what I mean? Like, you're like,
yeah. Well, yeah, I gained a lot of weight by drinking four or five at the pub downtown, which every time I go past that place now, there's like nobody in the pub anymore.
The 17th Street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes in waves. I was there yesterday. Yeah. And so like they all clear out and then a new group comes in. And then,
Yeah,
because I know the Partisan's open again.
Yeah, the Partisan's open. Yeah, because it was under construction for a long time during...
There's just a lot of places you can go now. It used to be just the Partisan, O'Reilly's, and sometimes the pub, but now there's the High Dive Bar.
Which one's that one?
The old...
What was it? Club Royal that used to be there or something?
I think so. The place used to have the bull, mechanical bull.
Ravello's?
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, what's that called?
The High Dive
Bar? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Oh, because...
Or is it just the Dive Bar?
I think it's still Ravello's, though, but they have the bar there.
At night, they just changed the name.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know they started doing that. Okay.
But then they have that nightclub that's across the street from the Partisan, right? That used to be the Hookah Lounge that Aaron worked at.
Oh, so that
it's a wine bar.
It's a wine bar. Yeah, so that's a wine bar, and then they're opening up another Hookah Lounge. I saw.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, here we go.
We're gonna go down this road again.
Yeah, four times. I think hookah and
having
that type
the cops
of stuff.
Last time was again. Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I want to say real quick, thank you to the public safety. law enforcement in Merced County.
Yes.
We really appreciate you guys.
Cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
We take this time to interrupt the podcast to talk to you guys about our sponsor, Crybaby Wine. Proudly located in Fresno, California, Crybaby Wine offers you your favorite delicious tasting wines like Chardonnay, Cabernet, and everything in between. Hold on, let me pour myself a glass. Not only do they offer these great tasting wines, but they also have de-alcoholized CBD wine. That's the one I'm drinking right now. Now, infused with CBD and CBG, these wines help you reduce anxiety and alleviate stress. You can find their products at crybabywine.com. Once again, that's crybabywine.com. And if you live in Fresno County, you'll receive free delivery. Once again, check them out at crybabywine.com or follow them on Instagram at crybabywinecalifornia. Drink this if you're trying to relax in the evening. Thanks again, Crybaby. What I just did right now, you guys, is what I do every day. This podcast is brought to you by Sisters of the Valley. Located here in the Central Valley of California, these sisters make homegrown healing products like CBD salves, CBD tinctures, CBD oils, and mushroom coffee. These products are amazing, you guys. I constantly take drops of the oil and rub salve if I'm sore or if my body is aching or hurts. These CBD salves work wonders, you guys. Now, these great, great ladies believe you need to heal your body the safe way, the way nature intended it. And that's why I know by using natural products like this CBD. Now, if you guys want to buy some of their products, you can visit sistersofthevalley.org. Once again, that's sistersofthevalley.org. They have tons of different products and different sizes. Or if you just want to follow them on Instagram and support them that way, you can follow them at Sisters of the Valley. Once again, that's at Sisters of the Valley. Thanks again, sisters. We also take this time to interrupt the podcast to talk to you about a little pick-me-up. That's right, Juno Coffee, right here in the Central Valley. Nothing beats fresh-brewed coffee, but this specialty coffee is a delicious alternative for those who are on the go, whether you're backpacking, hiking, climbing, parenting, or just out there being rad. This is the absolutely perfect instant coffee. There's so many times I've been hiking and backpacking, and when you crack open like an instant coffee, you mix it up, it just doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste like a cup of coffee. But this Juno coffee
tastes exactly like a cup of coffee. He has taken his time, perfected this recipe, and it is delicious. They have some awesome roasted coffee as well, and it's pretty cool because they always, you know, it's a small company, and what they do is he has this coffee called Martian Coffee, and he put his kid on it on Mars, like photoshopped it in. And I don't know, I just love it. I just love it. But I can't recommend this coffee enough, you guys. This instant coffee is the shit. You can find them at drinkjunocoffee.com. Once again, you can go to drinkjunocoffee.com and order it, or you can follow them on Instagram at drinkjuno. Once again, their Instagram is at drinkjuno, and if you want to order this amazing coffee, you can go to drinkjunocoffee.com.
And all the other first responders as well.
Yeah, first responders, firefighters, all of them, you know.
Yes.
They're doing a great job out there. Really appreciate it.
I agree. But what were you saying?
Maybe you should get them as a sponsor too.
No, I need to get them a sponsor, and I need to get somebody from them to come on the podcast as well. I need to. Yeah, I mean, I know plenty of people too. I just gotta.
You probably get Joe Opinski. He's a police officer.
Yeah.
And Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian.
H just became. Yeah.
Yeah, get that motherfucker. Here.
They're like, yeah, we don't want him to. I'm just kidding. We'll send somebody else.
I can totally see that.
Yeah. No, just kidding. Age, love you. No, dude, he's always a joy to be around.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to think. We're talking about hallucinating before that. But like, so yes, because I was gonna say, imagine when you're out there, you're just like you're saying, it's like. You might not physically be able to do it, but
mentally, you got to flip that switch that you just got to grind it out, push your body beyond the limit that you thought you had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of ultra marathons is you are capable of so much that you don't even realize, and it will show you who you really are. Like,
what have you learned about yourself since you've started doing this?
So, first thing going into it was I don't ever want to quit. I'm going to see every race through. I'm not going to DNF, which is did not finish.
Okay, yeah.
DNS, did not start. Like, even if I'm injured, I'm going to
I did see that when I was looking at the race. I saw, like, a whole bunch of, like, DNSs.
And I don't ever want to be DFL, dead fucking last.
Oh.
So,
is that what it stands for? Or is it did finish last?
Yeah. Dead last finisher.
Gotcha.
But we say dead fucking last. Mm. But, I mean, it's an honor to be the very last finisher.
Yeah, because then you're the one who pushed through probably your...
You went the longest out of anybody. But
I'm never going to fucking be that.
Yeah, I mean, I do not aspire to be that.
Yeah. But, it's probably,
what was the question again?
hallucinating?
No. What did you learn about yourself?
So what I learned about myself is that no matter the struggle outside, the struggle inside is what's going to make me the better person. Mm-hmm. So there can be a million things going on outside, you know, in the world. In my local area, whatever is going on in my life, throwing mm-hmm. me different obstacles. But I can only deal with so much, and the struggle that I put on myself is the one that's more meaningful to me to deal with. And like I said, everybody walks. We all come from different walks of life. I'm going to still keep walking through it or run through it, whichever way. But I'm going to deal with my issues at hand because I can't control everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm just learning that, like, I am capable of pushing my body beyond limits that I never thought was possible.
Mm-hmm. Especially coming from, you know, you were like 285 pounds.
Yeah,
you know
I lost 120 pounds and just thought I was worthless.
155? Is that what you were? 165?
No, I weigh... 165. I fluctuate now between 165, 170 because some days I'll eat more food than others. Like today, I'm really fucking hungry, obviously, because I burned 10,000 calories.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, I had a Mondo burrito. We'll talk about nutrition.
I was like, I feel like I'm missing something. So what do you eat?
So I'm vegan.
Yeah. Okay, you're vegan.
So I eat a grain, a bean, and a green for all my meals. Now, at races, it varies because, you know, the aid stations only offer so much. Mm-hmm. So, like, you need to get whatever calories you can in. But at home, I'm eating potatoes with every meal some days, like sweet potatoes, regular mm-hmm. potatoes, oatmeal for breakfast, getting all those complex carbohydrates because that's going to give me my energy throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eat beans for my protein, other carbs, because I can eat more of that. With meat, it just sits in my stomach. Mm. Fats, like, that are good fats, like avocados, I eat those a lot. Like,
so what do you do for other protein, though? Just beans, you know what I mean? Or do you, like...
I mean, you get protein out of potatoes, too. That's why, you know, do your own research, look into nutritional facts. But, like, I throw nutritional yeast onto a lot of my food, which is packed with protein. If you eat quinoa, every 4 to 6 ounces is about equivalent to a portion size of protein that you should have in every meal. Because, honestly, protein is not everything. Our body recovers and lives off of carbs. It's just people don't realize that monosaccharide carbohydrates, which are sugars, those are the carbs that you don't want a lot of. You know, our disaccharides, which are complex carbohydrates, being sweet potatoes, potatoes, rice, barley, you know, all those things, oatmeal too. Like, you need those throughout your day to keep your energy levels up and to recover. So I eat more of those, and then beans too. But I also, like, I make jackfruit and flavor it to, you know, like pulled pork or pulled chicken or chicken fajitas.
Okay, I
do all kinds of things. But mostly I eat rice bowls. So I'll
you were on a burrito kick for a long time, though, right?
Dude, I did.
I remember, I think you saw you, like, it was like day, we're
220
like
220 days.
Last year. I feel like I saw you eating a lot of burritos.
Yeah.
Like,
220 days straight of burritos.
Damn.
And
I haven't had a burrito since. I was kidding.
Yeah. No, I still eat a lot of burritos. Yeah. And I pack it with so much potatoes, beans, rice, you know.
So salsa. You don't, but no eggs or no nothing, right?
No, nothing no like eggs, that. No cheese. No.
And what was your decision in going vegan, out of curiosity?
Well, just like I said, from reading, doing my research with other endurance athletes, it's the fastest way to recover. So, like, I just raced yesterday. I'm walking around limping or whatever. In the next few days, I'm going to be recovered and running again.
And so why, if other people's diets just, it doesn't allow them to recover as quickly, you think?
It your body takes longer to digest a lot of those foods. Like, with cheese, for instance, like, we're the only species that eats another species' milk products.
Yeah, but I will say.
It tastes good because it's addicting, because it has that acidity and that salt, and that's what really draws you into it, but it also inflammates your body. So, like, as soon as I kicked that out, I noticed that my body was retaining less water. I was able to get my system flushed out faster. I had issues with poultry because, you know, my wife and I used to like to go out to the restaurants and eat some fancy food because I went to culinary school
before
I went to the Army, and, like, I was a chef, which is why I always cooked at Taco Tuesdays and stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
So,
full circle.
A couple restaurants, I got sick from food poisoning, and I know it was because probably the way they handled the meat.
Yeah.
And with, you know, lamb chops too, you know, like, I liked getting the fancy stuff. So then I noticed I didn't start, I wasn't tired as much anymore when I cut out meat completely and fish. Like, I have more energy now, obviously. Like,
yeah.
And that's how it just kind of clicked for me. Like, okay, my nutrition is very important with my activity, and that's how I can work out for 8+ hours a day if I wanted to, which some days I do. Like, when I was training for Ironman, I was training for 8 hours out of the day just for training. And that was strength training, running, swimming, biking, all in the same day, and recovery, and trying to make time for my wife and kids, plus my 8-hour job that I had.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking
and how do you,
big load, which is why I kind of have decided I'm going to move away from triathlon.
Yeah, it takes a little too much time. It's
way too much time because you got to put like 30, 48 hours in a week.
Yeah,
and I'm already working 40.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't make sense. So with trail running,
and you
I can do half that time.
Yeah.
And maybe even less and still do a 100-mile race just fine, you know? And I'm okay with that. And I still swim 2 or 3 times a week because that's like my meditation for me.
Mm-hmm.
To where I can clear my head. Because running is okay, but with swimming, like...
It's like the especially when you're submerged, too. Like, there's just something about, like the quietness of putting your head underwater.
Yeah, like, you don't have to hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're more worried about breathing and trying to stay alive.
Like, you're literally... Yeah, it's your breath work the whole time.
that's why I like ocean swimming, too. Because, like, as long as you just get past the fear that there could be sharks in the water, you should be... more worried about trying to breathe and stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stop moving when you're swimming, you're going to freeze up and then you can die of hypothermia. So like it's more of a survival
mode
out in the open water.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when I come back home, I go swim in McSwain all the time.
Yeah.
And it's cold ass water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm swimming in a Speedo. Like I'm not swimming in a wetsuit like most people do in open water. But out here, you got to deal with rattlesnakes being in the water.
Yeah.
So like,
new fear.
Yeah. I don't really care for rattlesnakes.
But
it's just my motivation to swim a little faster.
Yeah.
But
and so when you're your week leading up to, or like let's say the day of your race, you know what I mean? What are you eating or that couple days before to like help prepare your body for anything different or no?
No, what I eat.
What you eat?
I hydrate more water. I cut back a little bit on the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So like a few weeks before this race, I was drinking decaf and then caffeinated on the weekends. And then race day, I actually drank some coffee to kind of get me going, which is probably why I was so hyped up and like ready to go.
Yeah.
Which I didn't dehydrate from it. And that's why I didn't drink coffee the last race because I bonked from... coffee on my triathlon back in April.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I got to stop drinking coffee race day, you know? And then last race, I was like, man, why the fuck didn't I drink coffee? Like, I love coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I cut it back a little bit because I kind of get carried away because I like coffee that much. I'll drink a whole pot to myself.
I love coffee. It's like, and I'll just, I just keep going back, especially if there's some left. I'm like,
The addicting part is the creamer, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I drink the Silk, like the almond
creamer.
Yeah. That shit's addicting because of the sugar. You know, that's what it is.
Your body craves it.
So I started drinking my coffee black, you know, leading up to the race. But then my nutrition was still potatoes, sweet potatoes, rice bowls. For my rice bowls, I do like vegetable stir fry with mushrooms, broccoli. I throw seaweed on there, the dry seaweed.
I cut it
up, throw it on there, cucumbers, avocado, like a whole half of an avocado.
Yeah.
The half of an avocado, sometimes a full one, just depending on how hard of a training session I have or how many calories I need to put in that day if I didn't eat them earlier in the day.
Yeah.
I try to have a bigger lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I have a decent sized breakfast, but I try to have a bigger lunch and then a smaller dinner.
Oh, okay.
But then, so like jackfruit, I'll do like teriyaki sauce jackfruit.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. My bowls too.
I throw carrots on there. You know, it's a big portion, like big portions, but I'm also eating probably fewer calories than somebody that's eating a ribeye.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not eating a bunch of fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not cooking with oil either. So
what do you cook with?
Water.
Really?
I don't use oil because it's all saturated fat, and that's man-made. That's not something natural that that we eat. You know, like that's something
you just
that
put
we,
a little bit of water on the pan before stuff.
Yeah, or soy sauce.
Uh huh.
So, and I also have liquid aminos.
Or no? Am I like
what soy sauce?
No, like just stuff. Does stuff stick to the pan more? You know what I mean?
It'll stick to the pan if you don't have anything in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you get a nonstick pan, you just put a little bit of water.
It'll work. Okay, oh. Gotcha. That's all.
Yeah, and then you still put your spices. Mm. And then, like, with my potatoes, I air fry them. So I steam
air fryer is the best thing in the world.
I love my air fryer.
Yeah.
And when I did the 220 days of burritos, yeah. I air fried them a lot.
Oh, I'm going to say, me and my wife, that's what we do. I'll make a burrito, and I'm like, I'm going to air fry this shit now. Like, yeah. It's just like, because it's like, it reminds me of when I was little, I used to get chimichangas, but like But now I would never, like, I think I ordered one, like, a few years ago. I ordered because I was like, oh, chimichanga sounds good. And I was like, this is way too much. Just too much of an outer crust for me to deal with. Like,
you know what's crazy? I still get a shit ton of Taco Bell sauces.
Oh, you use them for flavor and stuff like that?
Yeah, just
Diablo's the best, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, so, like, my kids, they like cheesy roll-ups.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever we do errands
79 cents or something like that. Yeah.
So, we do errands in town. We do a farm box every Thursday. We pick it up. So, I take them through the drive through and they go, I want 3 cheesy roll-ups for me. And then my other one's like, I want 3 cheesy roll-ups too. So, we get to the window. I'm like, I need 6 cheesy roll-ups. Give me all the hot sauce you got. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah. Fill up a bag by itself. Okay. So I just got like a couple mason jars in my cabinet just full of taco sauce. So when I run out, I restock.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm going to need a bag again. A whole bag of hot sauce.
Well, so one of my students that I was a coach for.
And do you coach water people? Polo, okay, gotcha.
He works there now. So like he like hooks me up with like gorditas and stuff. I'm like, dude, I don't eat this stuff. And he's like, yeah, it's okay, Coach Eric. It's cool, man.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. I got you, Coach. I'm like, no, I don't eat meat, dude. Like, I don't eat this stuff. Just give me a bean burrito. And he's like, oh, yeah, whatever, Coach. You're funny. And
yeah. Then,
and my kids like the slushies, too. So, like,
oh, the freezers. Go,
hey, I hooked it up this time. And he gives me like freaking larges for the kids.
You're like, bro, I am not going to drink what you're doing. Yeah. I know you think you're trying to help me, man, but like,
I'm like, I really don't
I'm
need
not
it.
18.
Yeah.
And so like day after a race, what is like, do you have like a go-to meal of like, oh, I'm craving this?
I had avocado toast this morning, mm-hmm. right before we got in the car. I chugged a coconut water.
I love
water.
Avocado toast so much.
Dude, with nutritional yeast on it, or if you do the everything but the bagel season.
I was going to say, I started doing the everything.
Do you guys go to Trader Joe's?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one nearby?
No. It's still a Modesto.
That's what fucking Merced needs to get. All you Central Valley podcasters.
Hey, well, don't trust me. It's been talked about in this podcast. Yeah. We had the mayor on, and he was like, I was like, the number one requested question is,
well, the new mayor should definitely bring Trader Joe's, because then I might come back to Merced.
It has to be.
Honestly, that's
we have
why
to grow
I'm
to away. Like 100 and something thousand. That's what Trader Joe's, they're only in places that have X amount of people. Maybe if you move back.
Can we fudge those numbers?
Yeah, I know.
Fudge those numbers?
We just had a census, so what was that?
Can we fudge those?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like Trader Joe's over Whole Foods mm-hmm. by far. And then my newfound love mm-hmm. is Grocery Outlet.
Oh, I love Grocery Outlet.
Bargain Market,
dude,
man.
It is so, like, I can't describe to you how much I love Grocery Outlet. Hey, I try to tell people this.
Duffy, look up Lompoc Grocery Outlet. Those people are so damn funny.
Oh.
All their commercials. You should look them up on Instagram.
Yeah, because each one has their own individual commercials. Yeah.
Oh, on Instagram?
Yeah. Lompoc Grocery Outlet. Or it's Lompoc Go. Yeah, that's them. They are so friggin' funny, dude. Like,
go to the whoops. Yeah.
Maybe a reel. These ones, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys want to in your spare time.
Yeah, no worries.
Just watch them.
Oh, for sure.
But this dude, like, we're friends with them now.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
Through the small businesses and stuff. And they take pictures of, like, the costumes they dress in, and they got them all over the walls and uh-huh. for all the commercials they do.
Yeah, it's
so funny, dude.
Dude, that is cool. No, but I love Grocery Outlet, and they do have a lot of...
And they help with the community, too. Like, mm-hmm. they do fundraisers. Like, the whole month of August, they're doing a fundraiser with each other business.
Yeah. They're always like, do you want to donate $5 for...
Yeah,
every single time.
Yeah.
That's cool, dude. No, yeah, I love Grocery Outlet. And honestly, I think that the people who work there are always very nice. Like,
yeah.
They always seem to be very happy. There's this one guy that me and Lindsay went there this morning to go grocery shopping because we wrote out our grocery list. And like every Sunday, because we go every Sunday, but there's always the same guy working. I'm like, that's my dude. That's my guy.
Well, you know, they're kind of like Trader Joe's. Like, you know, it's more of a smaller community type store to where like they want to get to know their customers mm-hmm. too, and they want to strike conversation, have small conversations with people because that's how you bring business back.
Yeah.
You want to get to know your customers.
Mm-hmm.
And like big stores like Walmart and Raley's and Save Mart, you know, freaking, I might be pissing off some people on this podcast, but
no,
but for real, like they don't give a shit.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
you're
yeah.
there for, you know, like mm-hmm. they're just there to push you out. People at Grocery Outlet and Trader Joe's are going to help you find what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like every step of the way.
The thing I don't like about Raley's is like I'll like go there and get a bag of groceries and spend $50, and yeah. I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
And then I'll go,
go to Grocery Outlet and spend, like, half
Me and Lindsay went the other day, and, like, you know how like, it always shows you, like, how much you should save? They're like, oh, you saved. Yeah. I don't even know what we bought. Something must have been, like, super discounted, but I was like, we spent, like, $225 on groceries or something like that. And they were like, you saved $350 today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. What did I buy? Like, what was originally so expensive in this basket? I couldn't figure it out. Because
yeah,
then, like, today we went, it was like, you said $150. I was like, yeah, that's normal. But yeah. What did I buy that saved $350? See,
with me and Bridget and the kids, like, we're all vegan. So, like, we eat a shit ton of food.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, every week we spend $200 at Grocery Outlet, but we're still saving way more
than
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, because it should be like $400.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But we're spending $200 or less. Like, if we go shopping together, we tend to get more snacks,
mm-hmm.
like or more stuff or whatever. But if I go shopping by myself with the kids and mm-hmm. get enough food for the week, I'm spending like $120 maybe.
Huh.
So I do some pretty smart shopping, like, but it's mainly vegetables, you know, and like that's where I'm saving on money. Compared to a lot of meat eaters and all that is because I'm buying rice. I'm buying stuff that's bulk, like,
mm-hmm.
And then like 10-pound sacks of potatoes. Like,
yeah.
Because then we just steam the whole sack. It's in the fridge and then we cut them up, throw them in the air fryer. And that's what I was going to try and get at with the air fryer is like prepping potatoes for the week. Like, that's the way to go because then you got less time to wait on your food.
Oh, yeah. And it's already.
You just throw them in the air fryer, throw some seasoning
on
them.
Well, as I say that, my wife did that today for we love sweet potatoes. So she just did that the whole thing of sweet potatoes.
Yeah. I had, a whole 10-pound bag before I left for this race. So,
in one sitting?
I'm just kidding. No. I mean, almost. It was like in one sitting, I think the most I had was like 8 this last week.
Uh-huh.
Because I was just like, oh my God, these things are so freaking good.
Mm-hmm. Dude, and the air fryer does like everything so good. Like, I just like love throwing stuff.
Well, I just steamed them and then heated them back up and I put like a little barbecue sauce on them and just eat them like that
mm-hmm.
and some nutritional yeast, like. Just real simple with sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried something different too. I did sweet potatoes with almond butter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you use butter sometimes though? Or like for cooking? No?
No, almond butter is just.
What is almond
it's
butter?
Like, it's peanut butter.
Like peanut butter.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know what almond butter is.
You're from the Central Valley.
Yeah, sorry. And when you were saying it like that, you're like, I use almond butter. I was like, oh wow. There's like, I was like, what is almond butter? Like,
no, I don't use margarine.
The other day he asked the chef what ranch is.
So. Oh yeah, we have the El Capitan chef on here. I was like, well, what's ranch? He's like, you're asking what ranch is. So I was like, yeah. I was like, seriously,
Hidden Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
I know. And then we went into the restaurant the other day and we're eating with our like wife and fiance. And then he like walked in. I was like, hey, and he said like Merced uses more ranch than he's ever like, he's worked at tons of restaurants. He's like, I've never seen anybody go through as much ranch as Merced.
It's true. When I worked at Tony's Courtyard Cafe, when I got out of culinary school
mm-hmm.
and then I helped her, you know, throughout when I was going to school too, I used to do the baking and mm-hmm. stuff there and make cinnamon rolls.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. Hmm. So like, you would not believe every ticket had fucking ranch for the sandwich. And I'm like, and their fries.
Yeah.
Like, and double the ranch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah,
then,
yeah.
And then Paul's Place, I think it's under new ownership now from what I heard.
I think so, yeah.
So like, every time I ate there, you know, my family, there's 8 kids. And then like all their significant others and all that. Everybody's getting fucking ranch with their food.
Yeah, like, that's like 16 ranches right there.
Yeah, right there. And the big cups too. And you know, like, yeah, every restaurant around here.
Ranch is a thing.
And what, Dustino's, it used to be Pinocchio's?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, ranch with the pizza and the breadsticks. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, no, wait. Is that Dustino's?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I think it's Dustino's now. Yeah, I haven't been there since they changed over.
Yeah. I was only ever there for like the day before Thanksgiving. It was like always like a Blackout Wednesday.
Blackout Wednesday.
And then I worked at 510 Bistro.
Oh, dang.
So, yeah, a lot of ranch.
So you were a cook at all those places?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then you did that all before you went to the Army?
Yeah. So before the Army, I lived in Fresno and went to culinary school in Clovis. And then I worked at a couple places in Fresno.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went into the Army, I came back out. And then, well, I kind of worked for Tony a little bit here and there before I left. And then when I came back, I went on a little hiatus and lived with my cousin over in Florida for a little bit and had fun. Because he's a chef too.
No, really?
So we just like cooked all the time. I helped out at a restaurant over there. And then I moved back and started going to school. And then I started working at 510. So, but then I decided to stay in school, quit 510.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quit school to join the fucking prison. You know?
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Didn't know where I wanted to go in life at that time.
Yeah. But hey, I mean,
but now I'm,
you got to where you are now, you know what I mean? And like, that's the cool thing about like everyone's story. It's just like the trials and tribulations, and like, there's always, you could always look back and be like, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know what I mean? But it's like, it made you who you are today, and to us to have this conversation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow, that was like a really good natural ending, I felt like.
should we stop?
Oh, no, I was going to ask.
It's been like 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do you want to go into the VIP room and talk about anything else?
Yeah. No.
My last question
for
was,
your Patreon subscribers?
Yeah. I know. If I had more time to edit it, maybe that would happen. But with it being a two-man show over here.
You know, Duffy's a cute guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We can have a... Yeah, we should just have like OnlyFans, like Central Valley Podcast OnlyFans. But we just have normal content on it. Just have like completely normal content.
There's nothing different on YouTube.
That's the way a lot of people are going. OnlyFans, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's like not. Yeah, it's like not actually what it was.
Post a picture of me and my Speedo.
There we go. This week's episode. We have Erica Koenig. That's funny. But so my last question is like, what advice do you have for people who, you know, are thinking about starting to want to get into running, and like, and what would be your advice to them?
My advice is set a goal and follow it through. Do your homework, know what the nutrition is, water intake, salt intake. I mean, obviously you can listen back through this podcast too.
Mm-hmm.
And about the finger swelling and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But shoes are a big freaking thing, dude. Like, if you're going to trail run, ultras are the way to go. I know people are all hyped on Hoka, but if you don't have a very narrow foot, it's not going to be a good shoe for you.
Yeah.
You want to widen out your toes and be able to feel that ground. Eventually, you know, you're going to want a pair of Luna sandals just because, you know, it's cool. It's the thing to do in trail running.
Yeah.
But, nutrition, a training plan. I actually write up training plans for people.
Oh, do really?
And I've actually got a few clients that I coach back in Lompoc too. But if you want a training plan, if you're starting out, just reach out to me. I'll help you out. I'll give you kind of the basics. If you want anything more than that, then we'll go from there.
Decide,
you know, compensation and stuff. But I mean, shoes, gear. I use squirrel's nut butter for chafing around my bits and pieces, so I don't get any rubbage, which I need to rub some more because I got chafage from my vest yesterday. And it's good for swimming too. Like, if you do swim in a wetsuit, squirrel's nut butter is good for the collar and all that. Or lip balm too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good to put on your lips, it's good on your toes. Socks is like the second most important thing with shoes. If you do not get a good pair of socks and you're driving in a fucking Cadillac, you're gonna crash, man. Like, I mean, you gotta get Dry Max socks are phenomenal. You can take them off, dry them out, put them back on. So like, because I run with Running Rabbit Company, so like they sent me socks to race in. And that's what I started in yesterday, which is why they're not the socks that I normally wear. I normally wear Dry Max.
Yeah.
So I fucked up because I didn't wear what I normally train in. Yeah. So that's another lesson, is fight how you train.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're taught that in the military. You're taught that in fighting. You're taught that in anything. You don't throw in something different on race day. And that was another fuck up of mine.
Yeah.
I threw in something different on race day. Even though I was training in those socks, I did some runs in them. They're just not the best quality. So Dry Max socks are the best socks in the company of socks to run in. And like I said, you don't want to spend $180 to $200 on a pair of shoes and then let your feet go to shit because you bought socks from Walmart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want some tube socks. They're going to rip up your feet or tear inside your shoe from your toes. Because, like, just from the ground pounding, I'm about to lose 4 more toenails and I lost one yesterday. So, you know, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then clothes, comfortability, being able to get the right shorts. Some, you know, it just depends on your personal preference, though, with shirts and all that. When it's colder, wear cold weather gear, longer sleeves. I have arm sleeves that I pull on and take off depending on, you know, hot and cold. Gloves are very important because every race starts in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's the coldest at the dawn. So you want to wear gloves because your hands will really freeze up and swell. So when you're trying to eat some food, you're going to be fumbling around and probably drop your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A watch, you know, if you want to keep track of your training to see how much you're putting in on mileage, I have a Garmin. They're pretty cheap and affordable now. So I got the solar power one. And on a battery, it can last 20 days on one charge.
Oh, really?
Obviously, mine's kind of almost dead because I ran the race and haven't charged it since.
So. Yeah.
But it's still alive and has 12 days of battery left. Mm-hmm. So I used half of the battery. Coros is another good watch company if you're really a gear-do, really high-tech.
Coros
is the way to go. But Garmin just does the same, and you don't have to spend as much money. I got the Instinct. So if anybody's into watches, Garmin Instinct. Hat. Make sure you have a hat to block the sun out. A lot of races give them out, too. So, like, I'm wearing one of my hats right now
from the race.
And then you get some cool swag, like shirts and stuff from races. You know, some races have finisher's medals. If you do a 100-mile race, you get a belt buckle that says you're a 100-mile finisher. So, like, if I would have wore my pants with loops, I would have worn my 100-mile belt buckle that I had. I mean, any questions, feel free to reach out.
And then people can reach out to you on, what's your Instagram?
So on Instagram, it's outlaw_ultra athlete, which outlaw is my trail name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people call me out in the trail world.
It's kind of like a PCT, people get trail names and stuff like that.
Yeah, which I'm probably going to change it soon to Speedo Bandito.
a little more ring to it.
Yeah, I mean, so if you listen to the Road Dog podcast, that's Luis Escobar, the race director that I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. So that's his podcast, and I'm a Patreon subscriber to him. And so I change my name like every week. So like...
On his like Patreon?
Yeah, so he has to read it when he thanks all the sponsors.
Yeah.
So like for a while, I was... my wife and I listened to the Raw Dog podcast because he's the road dog, because some gal was on the show and mispronounced it. Raw Dog. So it's just a joke that I got with him.
I'm like,
you're the Raw Dog podcast now, huh? And so that was my name for a little bit. Now it's Speedo Bandito spreads the squirrel's nut butter to prevent chafing. But yeah, it's so a
long name.
It's the longest name. It's the longest name.
And he has to say the whole thing. That's funny.
We got Big Dick Andrew. I met him in person at Born to Run. And there's a reason why he's called Big Dick. He was wearing a pink Speedo, like, and all the ladies, like, were just like,
let's just say his hog was wearing a Speedo.
we'll just say he was pretty built.
That's funny. So outlaw_ultra athlete91 is your Instagram.
Facebook, it's just Eric Koenig. I don't really go on there as much.
Yeah, dude, I don't either. I don't understand
Strava. If you go on Strava, you can find me Eric Outlaw Koenig. If you guys want to compete with PRs and, you know, your average mile pace and stuff, obviously for you flatlanders, you're going to be a little faster than the ones that run on the hills all the time.
But, I don't know if you're doing, you're pretty quick, man.
But I do go pretty fast, you know, on the downhill, I can run sub five, so.
Yeah. Damn. What's your, how about like 1 mile? What's your fastest, like?
My fastest 1 mile, because I actually tried to get a fast 1 mile, was, I think a 6:15.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Is my fastest, but that was also on tired legs, so I have never really, like, recovered
and ran.
But I know I can hold a 5:30 pace.
Oh, wow.
So, and my goal this year that I set at the beginning of the year was to do a sub 6 mile pace.
Uh-huh.
And then I want to do a sub 20 minute 5K.
Oh.
So I'm hoping by the end of the year I can do that. If not, then I'll carry it over into the next year because I've been focused on all these big races.
Yeah.
So doing shorter distance like that.
It's a little different, huh?
A little different.
Yeah. Well, cool, dude. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I had a blast talking to you. It was good catching up after all these years. You know what I mean?
It's great coming in, getting to see Duffy and you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just shooting the shit.
Yeah, you know? Dude. It was fun, dude. It was fun. I was like picking your brain. Yeah, yeah. So thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it. Shout out to Crybaby. Shout out to Athletic Brews.
I also want some more Crybaby. That was
good. There we go. There we go.
Thank you, Crybaby.
Thank you, Crybaby. Yeah, it's real good. I enjoy it. I know. And like during the conversation, I was like, oh, I feel the CBD right now. I feel like a little more chill. Yeah, I was a little more relaxed. Chill. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, guys.
And this conversation got deep. So.
Yeah, I did. And then ended with Big Dick Andrew.
Big Dick Andrew. It's actually Riley's Big Dick Andrew.
Oh, there we go.
It's Riley's.
We're going to get it right for you, dude.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll end on that.
I West 9th in this bitch.
AOT. Run that shit up.
I.
Run it up, yeah.
I'm deep in this shit, couple scars heal. Niggas catted on the play like Garfield. How you niggas run the city when it's our steal? You a mark in a trick, call him cartwheel. Pulling in the booth, get every bar, give him chills. You don't live your raps, you just cap for the film. Black magic in my pocket when I shoot, it ain't a drill. Twin blunts in my pocket, yeah, I call them feeling lil. You niggas rap, I don't feel that shit a lil. If it's blood in the tank, I'm going for the kill. You want exclusive rights, I need 500 mil in the house for my mama sitting up on a hill, nigga. Why you niggas on that knock shit? I was serving dope, dropping hot shit. Flight attendant bossed me up in the cockpit. Quick to take a bitch soul like a shot blitz. Too much steez, but the sauce overflow. When she digging on that boy, now she swimming in the ocean. I don't rock the boat, solo dolo, no need no friends. High self-esteem, your product always low end. Twist my fingers west side when I'm throwing, I'm the champ in the valley. Feeling like Bruce Bowen, bit the shot all net. Give me my respect, wake them up if they slept. Push a op off the ledge, then I ride off like I'm Devo. And keep my circle small like a peephole. I don't fuck with no ordinary people. I'm quick to shut down a bitch, nigga, ego. Aye, it's going down in the town. So don't fuck around, niggas die, hey, die. I keep a head on the swivel, hey, dang. It's official, don't even fuck around with me. Yeah, it's going down right now, nigga. I don't give a fuck what you niggas gotta say. Yeah, if you ain't talking money, then you got nothing from me. Get the fuck out my face. Yeah, it's going down in the town. So don't fuck around, niggas die, hey, die. Yeah, keep my head on the swivel, hey, dang. It's official when you fuck around with me. Yeah, we getting money right now. Haters mad, but I don't give a fuck what they say. Yeah, if you ain't talking money, you ain't got nothing from me. Get the fuck out my face. Yeah, now Jen, Central Valley Podcast. It's Merced in this bitch, you feel me? 209, stand up. Wah, wah, wah. In town.
This is it. Real talk. And whatnot.